Okay, last time we discussed the Sugya of Sheila Shalom, Simon Shin Pei Hei. Just one more comment on that before moving on. The Taz writes in Sifkat and Aleph, Asur Lishloch Manos, so on that din that you can't send presents, Kasamari Chamizal B'Shem Haga B'Shem Ben Yehuda, Aval Tochlamid Eina Yachla Hazmin Acherim Ol Hizamin Im Acherim. So an Aval during Shloshim is not allowed to invite guests, nor is he allowed to be invited as a guest. V'nira de Huradun Kol Yubeis Chodesh Shal Avimo. Whatever is true for Shloshim for Shar Kovim is true for other Avimo as well. The question is, what exactly is this halacha that the Taz is telling us about relative to the din of Seudas Mereyas? There's already halacha, which we'll get to a little bit later, in Simin Shin Sadi Aleph, within the parameters of the Isser Simcha. So Mechaper writes in Tiv Beis, Simchas Mereyas, Sheyachayev Lefro Oso Miyad, Mutal Asos Miyad Achashiva, and Eimachayev Leparo Asuli Kaneslah, Shloshim of Vimo Yud Beis Kodesh. So that din of Simchas Mereyas, as the Shalach explains, She'osim Reyim Zem Zeh, She'ochlim Mishosim Zem Zeh, Hayom because of Ochlim Zelamachar. So it doesn't mean Simcha per se. It means social gatherings where the convention is that you would invite someone at some point and they would extend the reciprocal invitation at another point and you would have a reciprocal invitation. So that kind of a get-together is Aser during Shloshim. So what is the Taz adding to that? He says over here that an Olam shouldn't be inviting guests during Shloshim. Chuvas Binyan Olam, Chuvas Binyan Olam Yerideya Simon Samach Beis addresses this. He writes that the Taz presumably is talking about something that's a step below that kind of Seudas Mereyas. He says that sometimes you invite your relatives, you invite your friends on Shabbos and Yontiv for a snack, for mina mesika, for dessert, mina targima. That's not called a suda. And nevertheless, the Taz says that if it's in a social context and there's some kind of invitation involved, so that's an extension of shiluach manos, which is an extension of sheila shalom. So even if it falls short of a formal Sudas Mereyas as reflected in Hilchos Simcha, still, if you're inviting someone for a social gathering, even short of a formal Suda, that would be Aser during Shloshim, by extension, during Yud Beis Chodesh. Rabbi Carr points out that even though you should refrain from extending invitations, but there are contexts in which an invitation is acceptable. If you have someone that needs a place to eat, the real Hatnasas Orchem, not a couple invites another couple for a meal as a social obligation or a social matter, but you have someone who really needs a place to eat. So that would be permissible for an Aval to invite someone. An Aval's not pater from, or not mufka from Hatnasas Orchem. So if someone needs a place to eat, you have a guest in town, you have an almana, you have yasom, you have a yeshiva bacher, someone who needs a place to eat, that should be permissible. So to invite yeshiva bacher for Shabbos meal during Avelis, I do not believe would be considered Simchas Mereyas, and that technically should be permissible. So when I was in Avelis, we didn't invite we didn't invite any other families for Shabbos meal, but we were living at Eitz at the time still, and we did invite yeshiva guys for meals on Shabbos. I thought that was permissible. That's Hatnasas Orchem. That's not Simchas Mereyas. Remember when Rosh Hashanah was saying Shiva for his father, Rabbi Matan Wexler, who was in yeshiva at the time, was in the shir, told me that he was invited to the Shafters for Shabbos Suda during Shiva. And the Rosh Hashanah remarked that for him, they always have boys over for Shabbos meal, so to not have someone over for Shabbos meal would be available for Hesia. So I don't think Rosh Hashanah actually meant that in the literal sense, because it's not available for Hesia to not have someone over for meal, because no one would know who you are or aren't having over for meal at any given time. The thing he meant is that normally they have people over for meals, guys from yeshiva, So that's not a simchas grayus. That's not a violation of any isra velus. So once that's the case, then you can even do that during Shiva because it doesn't fall into any prescribed category for novel. Okay, let's move on to Simin Shin Pei Vav. The Gemara tells us, Ativas HaRosh, the Gemara tells us on Daf Tetzvav Amud Aleph, one of the things that we learned from Pesukim in Yecheskel, from Yecheskel's anti-Avelis, was the Pesuk says, Below Satah Safam, that Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yecheskel that he should not cover his upper lip. So you see from there that an Avel does cover his upper lip, that an Avel does perform Ativas HaRosh. And the Gemara tells us on Daf Kavdal Amud Aleph, that atifa means atifis yishme'elim, which you have in Hilchos Tzitzis as well, some kind of kafiyah-like, Arabic-like head covering that covers much of the head and goes down to cover the top part of the head up to the upper lip, and the bottom part of the head presumably as well. Says Tosvos, and Dafka Falachom et Aleph, Dibur Maschel Eilu Dvarim. Tosvos writes, Umash Einogin Ata Lasa Sativas HaRosh Kfiyas HaMita. Nowadays, Kfiyas HaMita we'll talk about later, but now we're focusing on Ativas HaRosh. The reason that we do not, we no longer have the practice of Ativas HaRosh and Kfiyas HaMita is Samchina Nahad Arminu Bishami, Achsanai and Archai Bikfiyas HaMita. So that will, the Yerushalmi says that if you're a guest in someone else's home and you're an Avel, you should not engage in Kriyas Hamita. People might think that you're engaging in some kind of witchcraft if you're turning over beds, because that's not a normal activity. And Tosis assumes that that should be true for Ativas HaRosh as well, if it's in a place where that's not the norm. That people will think you're doing some kind of voodoo if you're covering yourself, your head up like an Arab. So there are other people around who don't understand our practices, so we're worried they may accuse us of kishuf. And also, Taz then goes on to say that in the context of Ativas HaRosh, not Kriyas HaMita, but Ativas HaRosh, Shaloya Mevi Ki Imli Deis Chok in the Ativas Yishmelem. So if you're going to walk around medieval Europe dressed like a Middle Eastern Arab, that's going to engender some schok and inappropriate reactions on the part of the native population. So that's why we don't do Atifas HaRosh. Again, Tosfos has two reasons. Number one, kishuf. Number two, schok. Ask about the Shulchan, Sivkat and Dalid, why should we care if anyone laughs at us? There are many things that we do that people laugh at and that never stopped us before. So why is chok a consideration that we shouldn't do Ativas Yishmelem? Because the local population is going to think that's funny and make fun of us. Says the Baal Yerushalayim that the whole point of Avelus on some level is a matter of Kavod HaMeis. So there's a certain element of Kavod HaMeis that's inherent in all the Nihugi Avelus that we demonstrate that we are affected by the loss, and Avil is affected by the loss, and the whole way he conducts himself during the week of Shiva reflects that element of Kavod HaMeis. So if you're going to walk around with Ativas Yishme'elim in the middle of Germany or France in the 1200s, then people are going to laugh at you, and that's not going to be Kavod HaMeis. That's going to engender some kind of zilzal. And he points out that you have a lashon like that in a related context in the Ritva on Kaf Beis Amud Beis Dibur Maschel Al Aviv. There the Gemara has a din that we also don't do, that doesn't even make it fully into Shachar Aruch, and that's the din of Chalitzas Kasef. There was a practice of bearing the elbow as a sign of a velus, and that we don't do anymore. Right in the time that we showed him, they didn't do that anymore. So the Ritva writes over there, Kaf Beis Amud Beis, why don't we do Chalitzas Kasef anymore? Why don't we bear the elbow? So the minhag already existed in the kufa of the Bali Tosfos not to practice chalitzas kasef. The read didn't know why. The yeshapirshu nineshe rov Yisrael darim ben agayim. V'shemayal igor aleinu. So we're living in non-Jewish society, and the locals are going to make fun of us. V'eino kavod shemeis. And that's going to engender a lack of kavod shemeis if an avil's walking around and people are laughing at him. V'tzarech laharos hachalitza dilo lamani midi. And don't say, well, you just do it in private. That doesn't accomplish anything. The whole point of chalitza skasev is to have a public demonstration of revela. So if you can't demonstrate in public by baring the shoulder, because people are going to laugh at us, and that's a lack of kavod hameis, then there's no point in doing it at all. So that's the explanation for how the minhag of chalitza skasev fell by the wayside. That the Baal Shulchan, it makes sense that that's part of what's behind Tosis' reason for not doing that to the Israeli, because it's chok, if people are going to make fun of us, that's going to engender a lack of kavod hameis, and that defeats the whole purpose of that nihog of avelus. That doesn't seem to be, we'll talk about that when we get there. It doesn't seem to be the classic understanding of Gaara. But maybe that could be part of it. We'll talk about Gaara when we get there.
Emotion.
That's excellent. Yeah. Two different explanations.
But I'm saying it sounds like that they didn't understand the reason why they were being conversion.
They being the Nachrim?
Yeah.
Right.
So then if that's the case, then why would that lead to a covenant, like a design of a covenant case? They have no idea
There are the two distinct reasons. One reason is they're worried that they were doing kishuf and maybe they'll kill us because they're thinking we're doing some kishuf.
I'm saying that kishuf implies that there's nothing to do necessarily with the mace. They were just doing these strange things.
Right, the people on the street will think that we're doing kishuf. So don't get into trouble by doing something that they may consider to be kishuf. That's a totally separate reason. The second reason is chok. So within the reason of scope, he's explaining that engenders a lack of kavod hameis. Why do we care that they're laughing at us? So why do they care that they think we do kishuf? Because it may kill us.
Right.
That's simple. Why do they care if we...
It sounds like
it doesn't sound like two reasons go hand in hand. It sounds like they're two totally different reasons. So you're saying you could explain to us that these are both the overarching point is that the Nachum don't understand what we're doing. So they may not understand what we're doing and think it's kishuf. They may not understand what we're doing and they laugh at us. Okay, that still begs the question: why do we care if they laugh at us?
No, for sure. I'm saying that if they don't understand what we're doing and we're kishuf, then why would you?
That's correct. So that's the separate reason.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah.
Why his reason of kishuf applies to this? Only sounds like
Yerushalmi is already talking about kriyas amit, and Tosfos lumps it together with Ativa Zerosh because anything that looks funny, they made them we're doing kishuf.
It's like everything we do in Abed kind of looks funny.
Well, I mean, walking around with shoes or without shoes, walking around without shoes or sitting on the floor, there are times that people do that. No one's walking around with a Tifa Ishmaelim in the street. So something like that could smack a kishuf. You're right, Rishami only talks about the kind of Kriya Samhita and tells us things that make us relevant to Tifa Ishmaelim also. Okay. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Shin Pei Vav, Abel Chai B'Tifa Sarosh, So it's already a long-standing minhag, early in the Kufas HaRishonim, not to do Atifa Sarosh. That's the minhag, and you should not be machmir above and beyond that minhag that's been around for centuries. Says the Shach, so katan aleph, miu yesh linog batifa ksas. That even though our practice is not to do atifa sarosh, but it's appropriate to do a little atifa. The hainu, Limshach hakova lamata lifnei ha'inayim, to push the brim of the hat down a little bit above the eyes. Meaning, as opposed to having your brim straight, you push the brim down, or you push the hat down, so it's going closer to the eyes. So that is a little bit of a atifa. So the Shach says that that's appropriate to put the hat down a little bit. Aruch HaShulchan writes that if possible, that is advisable. The Baal HaShulchan observes in Sukkot and Hay that he observes common practice is not that way. He doesn't know why. The first time I ever saw an Avel being mocked for this was Rabbi Sachs in Passaic. As Menachem Avil, I think it was 25 years ago when his father passed away. That's the first time I saw anyone mock it on having the hat in the position of Atifa. When Rosh Hashanah was sitting Shiva, he also had the hat down a little bit. Rabbi Willig did not. In the Sefer Tziyumei Halacha, the Menachem of Rav Yashiv, he quotes that Rav Yashiv is not way that way. Rav Yashiv, he says, is makbid to have a hat, to not take the hat off his head the whole week of Shiva when he was awake, even if there are no Menachemim around. And he said, Rav Yashiv said that those people who don't have this practice of positioning their head in an Atifa-like way, like the Shach, are doing Shalom Kedit. And he quotes from Rav Yashiv as saying that even if someone never wears a hat, so he should borrow a hat for purposes of Atifa. So if you have an oval that never wears a hat, you should borrow a hat and use it. He says that if you have a big yarmulke that you can put down over your eyes or right above your eyes, then that would be sufficient as well. So minhag ha'olam is generally not that way. Most are not. Even the Shach, it sounds like it's he presents it as an anhaga tova of sorts, not a mikra din chiyuv. Aruch HaShulchan says it's a nice thing to do, but that doesn't seem to be, broadly speaking, minhag ha'olam. The Birka Yosef here on the bottom writes, even though the Mechaber says that Ativa Sarosh is when there are no Menachemim around, but if there are Menachemim around, you should remove it L'kavod HaMenachemim. The Birka also says, Ha'olam Nogin She'ena Avo Mis'atev Ba'ativa Sarosh Kol Hayom Ela B'Shah Sheban L'Nachemo. That Minhag Ha'olam is the opposite, that you only do Atifa when there are Menachemim. Hapach Mashikas V'Poskin Da'atifa Kol Hayom K'Sheba Menachemim Gala Rosho. See, he says the Minhag is opposite of what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So in that context, Rabbi Willig suggested maybe that point is that Atifa nowadays has a different surah than the Atifa of old. The Atifa of old was a Niyug Avelis, and if they're Menachem and you take it off, we'll cover the Avelim. But to the extent that there is any Atifa nowadays, that may be a surah in Nichem Avelim. Because Megara Din, we don't do Atifa. That's already what the Ramah says, the Minhag is, what the Bali does to say. If you're doing any Kain Atifa, like the Shach's Kain Atifa, so maybe that only makes sense in the context of Wider Menachemim. And that's what the Birka Yosef says. That there's a certain, as we'll see by Kriyasimit, there's a certain Surah of Nichem Avelim. There's a certain interaction and a certain surah that the Avil has when there are Menachemim as well. So in the Ativas Yishmael of old, where you have the kafia around all the heads, that's not covetic for the, it's not right for the Menachemim to come and only see your eyes. But if we're doing a different surah anyway, so that's saying that Nekra, then we don't do any Atifa anymore. And there's Ke'en Achumra of doing some kind of quasi Atifa. So maybe that only makes sense if you're in the presence of Menachem. The Emet Brach has a piece, page Kuf Mem Aleph. He says that even if we're not Noheg, the Atifa Tishmeim of old, there's still an element of doing the maximum Atifa, which is reasonable. Meaning to say, he says, even if in general you're not Noheg Atifa Sarosh during davening for the entirety of davening, so let's say your practice is you only put a talus over your head from Mishtabach, you don't wear a talus over your head from Sukkah to Zimra, but in Avos you wear a talus over his head even from Sukkah to Zimra, because there, wherever there's no consideration of the reasons that the Bali Tosos give for not doing Atifa, he thinks there's still an element of doing whatever Atifa we can. So where it's normal to be Otef Arosh for Tefillah, so then you should do Atifa Arosh for the entirety of Tefillah, even if that's not your normal practice. He wonders why no one ever said that. And he also wonders why in Eretz Yisrael, they're not knowing to do Atifa Arosh. The Bali Tosos arriving in Europe where doing Atifa Arosh would look funny. But in Eretz Yisrael, there are plenty of people that do Atifa Yishmaelim. Some of them now may even be part of the Israeli government. So if you're in a society where it's normal to do Atifa Yishmaelim, he thinks that there's no reason not to. So he leaves that as a question. But I believe that even in Eretz Yisrael, even nowadays, Sfardim, who did not have the minog of the Ramah, I'm not aware that there's a common practice of doing real Atifa Yishmaelim for Avelim even in Eretz Yisrael. But the Emek Bracha was writing, he was in Emek Bracha lived a very shortly, passed away at a very young age, but he Talmud the Brisker Rav, and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, I believe, in the late 20s, early 30s. Then he passed away shortly afterwards at a very young age. But he ended up in Eretz Yisrael, and I guess he saw some people wearing kafiyas. Okay, that's Simin Shin Peva. Shimon Pei Zayin is a din of Kfiyas Hamita. So that's the Gemara in the very bottom of Tetzvav Amud Aleph. Gemara says on the bottom of Tetzvav Amud Aleph, Avel Chai B'Kfiyas Hamita, bottom line, the Tani Bar Kapara, so an Avel has to turn over his bed, Tani Bar Kapara, the Mosti Yukni Nasati Bahan, that I gave, Kosh Baruch Hu says, I gave my Tzalem Elokim to them, who b'avon osehem hafachtia, and because they're avonos, I turned it over, kefumi tosehem alaha. So a form of avelus is this expression that if there's a p'tira, it reflects that there's a turning over of the Tzalem Elokim. So we observe that, commemorate that, acknowledge that by turning over our bets. That's the Gemara's reason for Kfiyas Hamita. Then the Gemara has in Daf Kav Zayin Amud Aleph. So all that tells you is you have to turn over the beds. Nothing about sleeping on a turned over bed, not sleeping on a turned over bed, sitting, not sitting. Turn over the beds. Then the Gemara says in Daf Kav Zayin Amud Aleph. First the Gemara says, when do you turn over the beds? So as soon as Machlokas, but we paskin as soon as the Eskimus Agola, right after the Krua. And then the Gemara says, Me'emasai Zokunas Amitas Be'er Shabbos. So you have to unturn the beds, put the beds back to normal on Erev Shabbos. When do you do that? Minamincha Ulamala. Amarav Baruhuna, Afadikain, even though you turn the beds back to normal, Minamincha Ulamala, Eina Yoshev Aleha Ajitachshach. You don't sit on those beds until it gets dark. Even if Shiva is going to be over on Sunday, you still are kofeh the mitos again. So here, in the context of when do you put the beds up and take them back down for Shabbos, here the Gemara has a reference to sitting on the normal non-turned over beds. So the Rambam writes, Perek Dalet Halacha Tes. Ha'ogel b'yom ha'rishon b'vad aso l'niach tefillin v'lachol mishalo. V'chayev leshev al mita kifuya. So on Yom Rishon, he has to sit on a turned over bed. So the Rambam says that on the first day of Avelis, you have to sit on a mita kfuya, and the rest of Shiva, you don't have to sit on a mita kfuya, you can sit on a mat, or you can sit on the ground. Right is masig, lower you see sharish l'zeh. So this distinction that the Rambam draws between day one and the rest of Avelis in the context of Kfiyas Amita does not seem to have any source in the Gemara. That's what the Rambam is bothered by, that's what the Kathamishah is bothered by. Where did the Rambam get this distinction from between day one and the subsequent days of Shiva? Radvaz suggests maybe it's based on the following. The Gemara has on Daf Kaf Dalet Amud Beis, we'll come back to this a little bit later. The Mishnah says in Kaf Dalet Amud Beis, Ein Mavrin El Almita Zakufa. The Sudas Havra has to be given Almita Zakufa. On a straight bed. Says Rashi, Yoshin HaMenachemin, that the Mavrin, the people providing the Suda Savra, sit on Amita's Kufa. So maybe that's Mashma, that the Avel sits on Amita Kafuya. And that's Suda Savra Halacha, that's the Yom Rishon Halacha. So maybe that's where the Rambam got this distinction from, that there's a special din of Kriyas Amita, being called for the Amita, that applies the entirety of Shiva. Actually sitting on Amita Kafuya, which the Gemara doesn't tell you in the initial iteration of Daf Tesvav, that to sit on the Mita Kfuya, so maybe the Rambam understood that that is Dafka on Yom Rishon, based on the Mishnah of Havra. Okay, the view that is in A, the Rambam paskins over here that at least on Yom Rishon, you have to sit on a Mita Kfuya, which is not the Feirush anywhere in the Gemara. The Rosh argues, the Rosh in Siman Ayin Chas says, there's no obligation for the Avel to sit on a Mita Kfuya even on day one. The whole din of Kfiyas Amita is turning over the bed. But it doesn't say you have to sit on the turned over bed. You just have to be kofet. So why should that be? If you don't have to sit on it, you don't have to sleep on it, then why do you have to be kofet in the first place? Why do you have to turn it over in the first place? The Aruch HaShulchan says there are potentially two elements of Kriyas Amita. One of them may relate to where you sit, and we'll talk about that in a few moments, Yeshiva Gabe Karka, but the other one is the Gemara's reason of Demus Diukni. So that representation of Demus Diukni being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mahapeth with Demus Diukni, the Tzalem Elokim of the Nifter, and we somehow reflect that by turning over the beds, so it doesn't mean you have to sit on the bed. That's a kiyum in this reflection of the Dibus Diukni, even if you don't sit on it. So the fact that you have to be kofet for the mita doesn't necessarily follow from that you have to sit on it. Rav Schechter quotes in the Rav, this is printed in Bikve Etzon on page Kuf Kaf Aleph, that Kfiyas Hamita per se, the turning over beds, that's a din in a Beis Avel. And that's the mashmalas of the Gemara we just read in Daf Kazayin, that you have to be kofet all the beds in the house, not just the Avel's bed. If you have one Avel in a house and you have 20 B'nai Bayis, you have to be kofet all the beds, even the beds not of the Avelim. And in Erev Shabbos, you put them back with Kabbat Shabbos, but to the extent that there's a din of Yeshiva Gabe Karka, which we'll talk about, that's still in place even up until Shabbos. And that's what the Gemara seems to indicate over there that we just read on Daf Kaf Zayin, that Eina Yoshev Aleha Ad Shetachshach. So Kriyas Hamitos is a din of Beis Avel, and you can get the Beis Avel ready for Shabbos or remove some of those Beis Avel elements, min mincha l'mala, but to the extent that there's a din of Yeshiva Gabe Karka for the Avelim, that's still in place, as we'll talk about, right until Shabbos. Okay, so that's a din of Kriyas Hamita, minimally being called for the beds. According to the Rambam, sitting on a Mita Kfuya, at least on day one. Tosis that we just saw on Daf Kaf Aleph says that nowadays we don't do Kriyas Hamita. The first reason was because of the Yerushalmi that people may be concerned who are engaging in Kishuf. And then to that reason, Tosis thinks it's common for both Kriyas Hamita and Ativus HaRosh. Tosis had a second reason for Ativus HaRosh of Schok. And Tosis has a second reason for not being knowing Kriyas Hamita now because of the way our beds are constructed, that the beds of the Tanaim, beds of the Amoraim, apparently were constructed differently in such a way that it was more noticeable if you would turn them upside down, as opposed to the medieval beds where the top and the bottom look similar. So if you turn a bed upside down, it doesn't look much different than right side up. So that's a practical consideration, that it doesn't make sense to do Kriyas Hamita because our beds don't lend themselves to that kind of kfiya. That's what it says here in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Pei Zayin, Avel Chai B'Kfiya Samita, B'Shach Sheina V'Achila Yoshev Amita Kfuya, Avel Kol Ayom, Eina Yoshev Afilu Al Mita Kfuya, Avel Gabi Karka, which we'll get to. Achshav Lo Nogu B'Kfiya Samita, M'nei Sheyom Ra'ov Dekuchav Yishum Nachashefos, both reasons, the why we don't do Kriyas Hamita nowadays. Okay. Fine. That line in the Chavrin Sif Aleph, that you do sit on a Mita Kfuya B'Shas Sheda V'Achila, so that's based on a Ramban in Taras Adam, even if it's not Beferish in our Gemara, that you should sit on a Mita Kfuya B'Shas Sheda B'Shas Achila for the entirety of Shiva. Okay. The Shach writes, as well as the Taz, I'll read the Shach, Sivkat and Aleph, Ashalanagum Mikalmakom, Ashalaleshev Agabe Safsal Okarim. I'm sorry, we'll come back to that. He writes, Huadin. Kisharosa Lishan, Ditzarach Lishan al Gabi Karka. That even though there's no din of Kriyas Hamita, and if there's no Mita Kfuya, then you don't have to sleep on a Mita Kfuya, but an Aval needs to sleep on the floor. That's what the Taz writes here as well. An Aval sleeps on the floor. Says the Yaivitz, in Tshuva Schelek Aleph Simen Sadi Aleph, Chelek Aleph, Siman Tzadi Aleph. Nowadays, the minhag is we don't do Kriya Samhita. However, that doesn't justify not sleeping on the floor. He says, Nishtaka, Haski, Lola, Haski, Nishtaka, Dover, Vilayala, Blade, Bardas, to say such a thing. That no one should entertain that just because we're not makrid on Kriya Samhita anymore, that you're allowed to sleep on your bed as normal. So that's what the Shach and the Taz say, that you have to sleep on the floor. Says Rabbi Kibager, Umutra Latsiya Kar Muksasas al Karka Velishan Alayim Teferet Tefillah Moshe. That you are allowed to put down sheets, pillows on the floor to sleep on that. You don't have to sleep on the floor mamish. You have to sleep on the floor, but you can put down something to soften the fall. That's what the Shuth Yaakov writes, Kalakala Simon Sadi. Even though you get the impression that you should sleep on the ground without any mattresses, without any pillows, without anything. But since that's hard, and the din of sleeping on the ground doesn't really have a source in Shas. Maybe to sleep on a mita kfuya, but not to sleep on the ground. So you can be mako to sleep on pillows, blankets, something to soften the fall. Piskei Tshuva here quotes from the Tshuva's part in the Eros, Chelek Bei Simen Kufnun, Chelek Bei Simen Kufnun, who argues that there's nothing wrong nowadays with an Aval sleeping on his bed. Not at all clear what the source is for sleeping on the ground. If there's no din of Kriya Samhita, doesn't make a difference where you sleep. Doesn't make a difference if you sleep on the ground with a mattress, if you sleep on your bed with a mattress. Once you're not being called for the mita, it doesn't make a difference. And that's what the Birka Yosef has here as well. Of course, upon him, Eros, he writes, Hamekel or Hifsid, Ubifrat, Bedoros Halalu, Chalusha Yamezeg, Ein Kan Chumra, Afitzad Adin. That nowadays, as we call it upon the Eros, that we're of weaker constitution, so there's no need to be Machmir. So that's what the Birka Yosef says, like upon the Eros, as the Pesach Shuvah quotes, that nowadays you can sleep normally on your bed during Shiva. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes, that the Minhag is to be Mako. The Ma'ariv Shulchan writes that the minhag is to be mako. Rabbi Karp quotes that the Chazon Ish was mako, that the Stifler was mako, and he quotes that Rav Elyashiv was mako, as does the Tziyunei Halacha. Even though Rav Elyashiv in the Tshuva, Chelokei Simen Kuf Ayin Ches, Chelokei Simen Kuf Ayin Ches, he's not convinced by the argument of the Panim Eros, but nevertheless, in practice, Rav Elyashiv paskened that there's no need to sleep on the floor, and when he was in a Velus, reportedly slept in his bed. Seems to be an extension of sleeping on a Mita Kfuya. So the Ramban paskens when it says in Shulchan Aruch that you have to sleep on the Mita Kfuya. So even though we're not called for the Mita, but that reflects a certain uncomfortable form of sleeping, so the equivalent would be to sleep on the ground. So that's part of Kriya Samhita. But again, many Achronim are something like the Panim Eros, and that seems to be common practice to be makel to sleep on a bed normally. We'll talk a little bit later about Tisha B'Av in that context, but Tisha B'Av may be different. Okay, what about Yeshiva Gabe Karka? The Lashon of Mechaber was Aval kol hayom eino yoshev afilo mita kfuya ela agave karka. Where does that come from? Take a look at the Bir Agra, Sif Katan Beis. Girsas HaRamban in Torah Sa'ada on page Kuf Pei Gimel. The Ramban had the following gears in the Gemara. Minayin la'avel shein rasha leisha agave mita el agave ha'aretz. How do you know that an avel is not allowed to sit on a bed? He can only sit on the ground. Shenemar v'yishvu ito la'aretz basaginiyav. Says the Gaon, v'akol lesa b'gemara shalanu shesh mitura ma'pisim, that it's the printer's fault. It should have been our Gemara, and they left out that important line. So many of the Rishonim have this line, the Ramban, the Rush, but it was left out of our Gemara. So the Gaon says, even if it was left out of our Gemara, but that is the source of this halacha, and we should pretend that it's in our Gemara because it really belongs there. Now the Gemara does have the following, even though the Gemara doesn't have an explicit reference to an Avel having to sit on the ground, but the Gemara does have on Kavav Beis the following. So this on the Mishnah we quoted before, the Mishnah Kaf Daled of Ein Mavrin Amitas Zekufa. The Gemara has four lines in the bottom. You go to pay a shiva call. Im hayalibo gaspo, if you have a close relationship to the avel, yabruhu amitas kufuyas, you should be mavrihim amitas kufuyas, meaning both the menachem and the misnachem should sit amitas kufuyas. The im lav, and if there's no such relationship, Yavru Amitas Akufas. Then they both sit on regular beds. Meaning, right, and the Ramban explains that if it's legal gospel, if it's someone that you have a close relationship with, so both the Menachemim and the Misnachemim sit on Mitos Kufuyos. And if you don't have a particularly close relationship with the Avel, then everyone sits on Mitos Zekufos. What do you see from here? This is in the context of Havra. So you see that there's no chiyuv per se for an avel to sit on gabe karka when he's eating. It's only if it's libo gaspo on the part of the menachem that everyone should sit on mitos kufuyos. But if it's not libo gaspo, then both the avel and the menachem sit on regular chairs. Yeah, so it sounds like there's no requirement of an avel sitting agave karka, at least when he's eating. Says about the Yishalcha and the Biurim, maybe that was only Bimeya. Bimei Chazal, where the normal eating position was to recline, Behaseba. So then, even if you're sitting on a bed, you're sitting on a chair, that's a shinoi hanikar from the normal eating position. But maybe bizmanenu, when no one leans for eating, the regular way to eat is by sitting. So maybe bizmanenu, and avel dasar agave karka even bishas achila. And that's why the mechaber was so same. And says, kol yom yoshev, eni yoshev afilo amita kafuya el agave karka, without distinguishing between Shas Achila and not. We'll come back to that in a moment. A Mita Kfuya. But if you don't have a Mita Kfuya, then where do you sit? So the simple reading of the Mechaber is that b'shas shena v'achila, you're allowed to sit on a mita kriya. Any other time, you have to sit on the floor. There's allowance to sit on a mita kruya. What happens if there's no mita kruya? So the Bali Shulchan reads this. Well, we're not done yet. But the Bali Shulchan reads it as, if you don't have a mita kruya, then the default is you sit on the floor. There's an allowance. There's an allowance to sit on a mita kruya b'shas shena b'shas achila. If there's no mita kruya, so then b'shas achila you sit on the floor. B'shas shena, you should sleep on the floor, but we're makel because people are of weaker consistencies like the panemiras. And then that's the Badi Yashachan, how the Badi Yashachan wants to read the mechaber. But we're not done yet. Hold on to that for a second. And take a look at Tosfos on Daf Kav Zayin Amud Aleph Min HaMincha U'Lemala. So again, that's the Gemara that says that on Erev Shabbos you can start rearranging the furniture Min HaMincha U'Lemala. Pirshu B'Tosfos, Sarav, the Misakura Yimincha Gdola Mincha Ktana, the Mikodem Lachein Eino Yoshev Aleh. So we don't know if it's mincha gdol or mincha ktana. Nearly, the mikan samchu shelo leishev al gabe kisa v'safsal. That this is a smach for why avelim don't sit chairs. Afa pish en raya gemura, the shani mita ho v'sar kfira, the Tosa says, the Gemara here says that Yuzoki the mitas min mincha lamala, and Rabbi Rufuna, afal kikein eino yoshev elad shetachshach. Even if Yuzoki the mitas, you can't sit on the mitas until it gets dark. So Tosa says maybe that's the source for the practice of yeshiva gabri karka. In fact, the Gemara says you can't sit on a mita kruya, a mita skruya until it gets dark. So maybe that's the source for yeshiva gabri karka. The Tosu says not necessarily. It's not a raya mechrachas because maybe that's only by mita kruya. If you have something that's kruyaable, then you can't sit on it in its normal state. But if you have something that's not kruyaable, like a safskal, then you do sit in it normally. So for Tosfos, Tosfos' closest source in the Gemara is that a din of Yeshiva Gabri Karka is that line. So Tosfos apparently did not have that girsa of the Ramban and the Rosh that the Gaon quotes, where there's a beferisha line in the Gemara that says that there's a chiv of Yeshiva Gabri Karka. Rabbi Willick, in his piece on this, printed in the Avila's piece at the end of the volume on Brachos, he finds that difficult to believe that the Bali Tosfos didn't have the girsa that the other Rishonim had. Not sure why that's so impossible. But he thinks the fact that the Gaon says that the printers left it out, so those are the later printers, not in the time of the Bali Tosfos ever must have had the girsa. So he thinks it's difficult to believe that Tosfos didn't have that girsa that Ramban and the other Rishonim. He suggests that maybe Tosfos's work with the following. In the Hilchos Machlos of the Maran, in the end of Siman Nun Daled, the Maran writes that the din of Yeshiva Gabri Karka is only when the Menachemim are being Menachem. That's a pasuk in Eov, that the line of Gemara that we don't have, that the Ramban has, quotes, that the Menachem came to Eov, sat with him on the ground. So the Maharam understands that the whole din of Yeshiva Gabri Karka is only relevant, that's a tzura in Nichum. That's only relevant when there are Menachem and Mitzvah, so that's when the Avil has to sit al Gabri Karka. But if he's alone, if he's not with Menachemim, then there's no requirement of Yeshiva Agave Karka. This Maran, the Darkei Moshe, quotes part of in the Drisha quotes part of here in Shin Pei Zayin. So So Rabbi Willis suggests that if Tosis is going with this position of Maram, that the din of Yeshiva Gabbai Karka is limited to where there are Menachem and Mitzlo, because it's a din in Nichum Avelim, but if there's no Menachem and Mitzlo, then you're allowed to sit on a chair normally. So that's what Tosis is saying. That the whole din of the Issei Yeshiva Gabbai Karka, that's in the context of whether Menachem Mitzvah. But Mikan Samchu, that maybe there's a minhag of not sitting on a Kisa B'Safsal, even where there are Menachem Mitzvah, based on this line of the Gemara, in the context of being Zokeif Mitas. Right, that maybe the Iker din of Yeshiva Gabbai Karka, that maybe Tosa had that light. That's in the context of Nichum Avelim. But what Tosa is reflecting here is a minhag of not sitting on a Kisa V'Safsal, even where there are no Menachem Mitzvah. And that, what Tosa says, is not so clear whether that's the case. In the Taz in, here in Sifkat Danal, that explained in Marshal, assumes it's a Dabar Pashit, at least within the Marshal, that Maram is not correct, Lalacha, that the Yeshiva Gabbai Karka applies even if there are no Menachem and Mitzvah. But we'll come back to this in a little while, but Rabbi Willis' position, Lalacha, is that there's no requirement for an Avil to sit Al Gabbai Karka if there are no Menachem there. So if an Avil's eating breakfast in the kitchen and no one else is there, then there's no need for Yeshiva Al Gabbai Karka. Okay. The Shach writes here in Sifkat and Aleph, so an Avil is not allowed to sit on a bench or on pillows. Ki im al gabe karka, he has to sit on the ground. Mamish im lo chol v'zalkin sheish them tzar b'yishiv al gabe karka mutarim lahasim kar kata mitachtav. So an Avil has to sit on the ground. Mamish, he can't even sit on a pillow unless he's a chol v'zalkin, so then he can sit on a small pillow. So he's allowed to move his legs, but when he's sitting, as he saw Gabbai Karka, and when they're Menachem Mitzvah, it's appropriate to sit Al Gabbai Karka. The Shach says Al Gabbai Karka means Al Gabbai Karka Mamish, no cutting corners, no sitting on pillows, no sitting on anything other than hard ground. You probably observe that Minhag Olam is largely not that way. So, Bekeger, in the context of sleeping that we saw before, says that even though you have to sleep on the ground, you can put down karmic sasas on the ground. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that Rabbi Bekeger meant that in our context as well, that you're allowed to sit on Gabi karmic sasas. Not like the Shach. And Aruch HaShulchan thinks there's a raya for that from the Pasuk Adiyav. It says that they sat with him La'aretz. Not Al Ha'aretz, but the Menachemim sat La'aretz. Mashma, Samach HaShulchan, Oskimel. Mashma, Samach La'aretz. So you think that's a raya that you don't have to sit Al Karka mamish. So both the Rabbi Willig in his case, Nar Mordechai, and Rabbi Karp, writing 20 years later, more than 20 years later, they both write that that's not a right. The Rishon is talking about sleeping in the context One second. Do you have the Rav Hachal in front of you? Thanks. Right, the Rav Hachal says the Yusham Yireish Karagimel de Brachas nearly right day. Okay, the Garcin and Hassan the Sid the E of the Yeshua we told the Aretz. Al ha'aretz ain't siv, el la'aretz. Tavish yisamach la'aretz. The Yishami says that they didn't say al ha'aretz mamish, it was tavish yisamach la'aretz. So Rabbi Karp points out, Rabbi Willig, that Yishami is in the context of Shena. In the context of sleeping, not in the context of yeshiva. So one doesn't necessarily follow from the other. Next. The Baal Shulchan writes that Minhag Olam, again, is to be makel to sit on karmic sasos, not ala karka mamish. The Kitzur Svarim quotes from the Das Kedoshim, the Marsham, and the Das Torah, you can be makel up to 3 tefachim off the ground. Gesher Chaim Yechimel Kuczynski says 1 tefach. Rabbi Karp is upset about people that are makel to sit on a stool that's even more than 3 tefachim off the ground. Rav Schechter has a slightly different explanation of Minhag Olam, which Rabbi Willig has as well, based on something that the Rav said. Rav Schechter has this in Nefesh Harav, page Resh Nun Gimel, that the din is in yeshiva gabi karka mamish. It's not that you have to sit on the ground mamish. The point is, there has to be a shinui. It has to be different than your normal mode of sitting. And Rai for that, the Rav brought from Sanhedrin Daf Kaf. There it says that if a melech is an avel, he sits on a dargish. He sits on a stool. So it's clear from that Gemara, the point is a shinoi, that a melech, who normally sits on a throne, sits on a dargish. Or the dargish doesn't have to be within 3 tefachim from the ground. So there's no din of yeshiva gabi karka per se. It needs yeshiva in a mishunadik fashion. So if there's a din of mita kfuya, so that's a formal halacha. But if there's no din of mita kfuya, there's just a default of yeshiva gabi karka, it doesn't mean al gabi karka mamish. It means you have to sit in a fashion that's different from the norm. I'm sorry?
Do they have a limit for
how tall those? Rav Schechter? Nope, not per se. I mean, I think this is a justification for Minhag Olam. It seems like it's still appropriate that if you're going to be makel out this whole karka mamish, the most folks can assume it should be at least within 3 tefachim within lavet of the ground. But it's an explanation for why you could justify more than that. So that's what Rav Schechter quotes in the Rav. The point is a different surah of yeshiva. But what exactly the gather is, I don't know. That may be in the eyes of the beholder. And Rabbi Will made another ara, which is the end of Sif Aleph, is v'chein menachemim einan rishon leyeshiva al gabi karkas. It's not only that the Misnachem, the other leases al gabi karka, but the Menachemim need to sit al gabi karka as well. And Minhag Olam is not to do that these days. So it says the Shach, why? Menachemim Yoshua gabi sasal de mistama machalahu. That mistama, there's mechila, meaning it's the reason a Menachem would have to sit al gabi karka is a sign of solidarity, in a sense, with the Avel. So we assume that the Avelim are Mochel, and that's why there's no need for the Menachemim to sit al gabe karka. So Rabbi Willard says, so maybe the following, that they're really supposed to be parity. It's the Menachemim and the Mesachemim are supposed to sit on the same level. I mean, that's a Gemara that if you're Mavra, if Liba Gaspa, everyone should sit on Mita Kufuya. If it's not Liba Gaspa, everyone should sit on a Mita Zakufa. It should be the same level. So the Tzur of Nicham Avelim is that both the Menachemim and the Mesachemim sell Gabe Karka. So once we're Mako for the Menachemim to not sell Gabe Karka, on some level, we should be Mako for the Mesachemim as well. Given that we don't have a din of mita kfuya anymore, so maybe we should be makel for the menachemim, the misnachemim as well. Elawat. So the reason that we're machmir is this notion of the rav that there should be a shinoi from the normal fashion of sitting. But once you have any shinoi, maybe that's sufficient, and we're not as concerned about where exactly the avel is sitting. So it's enough of a balance that everyone's sitting on chairs. As long as the avel's not sitting on a normal chair, so that meaning, in principle, we have the balance. But there's still a minhag that the avel should have some form of a shinah. So it's more balanced than... So that's still the Midah of the Shach says that Mistam and Machlehu, we don't do that. But what I did see in the Rav Yoshe Sefer, they quote that there's nothing wrong with the Menachem sitting on a low chair. If people think that it's lo misam the milsa for not able to sit on a low chair. The quotes from Rav Yoshe, it's not true, that there's nothing wrong if... You can sit on the floor, you can sit on a low chair, wherever, if there are enough chairs, you can sit on the floor. Because the Iker Tzur of Nicham Avel is to sit on the floor. So we're mochel that we don't require the Menachem to. Okay. Fine, let's stop here for today. We still have more to talk about in terms of Yeshiva Gabe Karka. We'll try to finish that up next time. And then move on to tefillin.